The past few weeks, since we set this this Sunday as the Sunday to dedicate the renovations that we've made in the church, I've been studying the different dedication services that are in the Bible. And I've looked at four different ones. I looked at the dedication service that Moses had when he first pitched the tabernacle, the tent that served as the temple. I studied in 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles where Solomon dedicated the temple that he built in Jerusalem. I studied the rebuilt temple that Zerubbabel and others built in Jerusalem after they returned from the 70-year Babylonian captivity. And then I studied the dedication that Nehemiah had for the walls that he rebuilt around Jerusalem. And each of those dedications had four different parts. Part one was they gathered all the people together. Part two, they rehearsed what God had done. Part three, they prayed for God to bless the walls, the temple, the tabernacle. And then part four, they offered sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Brother Chuck read a moment ago that when Solomon dedicated the temple, he offered 22,000 oxen, 22,000 oxen, and 120,000 sheep. We're going to do the same thing this morning. We don't have that many sheep and oxen, but we're going to add a step to those four. We're going to do five things. We're going to have a step, what I would call step two and a half. And Nehemiah did this when he dedicated the walls, and that's recognize and honor some of those that helped. So I'm going to go through these steps, and we won't take much longer than we normally do, but we've gathered you together, and I appreciate all the guests and the visitors that have come this morning to be part of our service. Thank you for coming and being part of our dedication service. Number two, we're going to rehearse what God has done. And some of you that haven't been here for a while, or some of you that maybe haven't taken note of everything that's happened in the past few weeks, I just want to take a minute and mention to you all the different things that have been done to the church the last few weeks. First of all, it's all been painted. I don't think there's one wall, one piece of drywall, one block that hasn't been painted. Everything has been painted. We reworked the platform to add this lower section and move the pulpit down. All the carpet has been replaced. The curtain over the baptistry is new. The pews have been taken up, repaired, and fastened back down in a different arrangement. And in a few weeks, we'll be adding pads on the bottom of the pews to coordinate with the carpet. Both the offices, my office and the Sunday school office, has been redone with new furniture. The nursery's been redone. And I would invite you to stop, and I would invite you to just take a walk around the church and look at everything, every room and every corner. You're more than welcome to walk around and see what God has done. We've added a light in the parking lot that shines when it's dark. It gives us light out there. And then there's been a lot of cleaning. There's been a lot of hauling away of garbage. I couldn't help but think about it the past couple of weeks. I remember what Nehemiah said, that before he could build the wall, he had to haul out a bunch of garbage. And we've hauled out truckloads of garbage from here. And then, like any good Baptist, as we've done all that work, we've had some mighty good eating, as the ladies have provided lunch and sometimes dinner for those that have stayed and worked. And so you might say, well, didn't we do all that? I mean, and by the way, it's all paid for. We did not go in any debt. And we have money to pay for the rest of the stuff that we haven't got bills for, and we'll still have plenty of money left. And by the way, I'm not saying this so you'll quit giving. I want you to still tithe and still give, but we haven't put ourselves in any financial strain as a result of doing all these things. Now, quickly, I want to recognize some people that had a part in doing this, and I do this at the risk of forgetting somebody, and I don't mean to do that, but I just want to mention some names, and as I mention your name, I'd like you to stand and remain standing, if you would, just for a minute, and this will go into the next part of the service that I want us to do before we dismiss Junior Church. Sam, I'd like you to stand. Sam headed up our Building and Grounds Committee. Spent a lot of time getting bids on the phone, following up, And that, as any of you that have done that know, is a headache. It's frustrating at times because people won't call you back. In addition to taking care of all that, there was a lot of physical labor that Sam himself did. And Chris, I'd like you to stand with him, if you would please, because you helped him a lot in getting the bids and doing those things as well as the physical labor as well. Bill, I'd like you to stand, if you would please, sir. Bill led us in remodeling the platform here, did all the planning and most of the work, had some helpers, but he was the boss for that job. And that's just the beginning. I can't tell you how many hours this young man has put in at this place doing things that I don't even know about. But everything that I've asked him to do, he's been quick to do. And I still got him working on a couple of projects that we haven't let him off the hook yet. But Bev, I'd like you to stand with him, if you would please. Ma'am, she was here much of the time, fed us much of the time, and was a help. Brother Dick, I'd like you and Diane to stand. Spent a lot of time here, both in physical labor and just making sure. Diane was making sure that the church was clean the next time that we met together. Fed us as well, and just been a lot of untold hours all these folks did as we did this stuff. Brother Forrest is not here today. Margie, if you would you stand for Brother Forrest, please, ma'am? I want to tell you, Brother Forrest probably spent more time on his knees in this renovation than anybody else did, because most of the work that he did was right here underneath the platform. As he redid the sound system and as he pulled wire and as he did all of that stuff. I mention these names and I take a few seconds to tell you what it does nowhere do justice to the amount of time and the amount of hours that these folks spent in doing these things. Herb, I'd like you and Renee and Warren, you and Dory to stand. They spent a lot of time ripping out the old carpet and hauling that away, taking the pew pads off. Clint, I'd like you and Wanda to stand. And Clint spent a lot of time here, hauled a lot of stuff that burns back to his house and disposed of that. Wanda was here. I want Leonard and Candy to stand if they're here. I see Leonard. Is Candy in the nursery, but they were here often, did a lot of work. David, I'd like you to stand. David and Pam, when we painted, were here all day. Brother Duane, I'd like you to stand. And when we here painted, Brother Larry, I'd like you to stand because you paid all the bills for this stuff and kept us straight from a financial standpoint. And then, again, I don't want to overlook anybody, but if you were here and helped in any way, in these renovations that I've mentioned, would you please stand to your feet right now if you were here and helped in any way? And then let me ask you to do this. If you've given even $1 to the church in the past 3 or 4 years, tithe or offering, if you just put a quarter in the offering plate as a little child, I'm going to ask you to stand as well, because you all had a part in doing this with your tithes and offerings. Everybody had a part. Now, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. Visitors, I'm going to ask you to stand as well. And I'm not going to ask you to move from your place, but I'd like you to join hands just from row to row. And we're going to do what they did in the Bible. We're going to ask the Lord for a blessing. And maybe if you could just slide across and we can just form chains across the aisles. We're going to ask the Lord to bless all these things that we've done. So let's pray together. Father, we bring this before you this morning, recognizing that this is your work, this is your church, this is the place that you've given us to meet together. And Father, we've done our best to make it look nice, not for us, but for you. Not for us, but for the people that we can reach, because it looks nicer. And this morning, we dedicate it to you. As Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple, it's all yours. We take no pride in it. We take pride in the Savior that made it all possible. And I pray, Father, that as we go forward as a church, that we would use these renovations, we would use this building that you've given us to bring honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. That this place would be a lighthouse in this community, that we'd hold that light high and we'd proclaim the name of Jesus and the fact that he's the only way to heaven. And we'd proclaim the salvation that he offers freely to every single person. Not only would we be a lighthouse, but we'd be an army of Christian soldiers that would go out and tell people up and down the streets of Clio and the surrounding community about the one who loved them and gave himself for. I pray, Father, that we'd also use this place to strengthen Christians, that we'd help them to grow. We'd help them to be better husbands and fathers. We'd help them to be better wives and mothers. We'd help them to be better children. And I pray, Father, that we'd use everything that's been done in this place to either to see somebody saved or to strengthen Christians. And I pray, Father, you give us that mind, that heart, that desire, and that will to accomplish those things in your name. And all of this we dedicate to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his blessed name we pray. Amen. Of course, this is a part of the service where we get to the sacrifices. And so we're going to send the children out. Now, you might say, Brother Darrow, are you really going to offer an animal sacrifice? No, I thought we'd do better than that this morning. I thought we'd offer some human sacrifices. And I'm going to use Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And as I was thinking the past few weeks about how we could offer ourselves as a sacrifice, my thoughts came back to the building. And I want us to take our cue from the building this morning, because in a sense, the building has offered itself as a sacrifice to God. It's given itself to God. And I know it's an inanimate object, but in a sense, this building is a sacrifice to God. And I'm going to mention three ways this morning how it is. And I want to suggest to you that in those same three ways, we can offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God. Number one, it's available. Did you know that every room in this building is available for God to use? God can use these two choir rooms. He can use the part up on the very top up there where the baptistry. He can certainly use the choir loft and this platform, and he can certainly use this auditorium for his honor and his glory. He can use the pastor's office and the Sunday school office. He can use the fellowship hall and the kitchen. He can use the nursery. He can use the hallways. He can use the four Sunday school rooms that we have upstairs and the sound room for his honor and his glory. He can even use the little furnace room that we have where the furnace is for his honor and his glory. Every single room, every single closet, every little nook and cranny that's in this place is available to be used by God to bring honor and glory to him. It has been, it is, and will be used, I hope, for all the time that we have left on earth. As a building, I hope it never becomes a movie theater. I hope it never becomes an office complex. I hope forever and ever, as long as Christians remain on this earth, it would be a church, a local New Testament church, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every room in this place is given for that. But I also want you to notice that every room in this building is not only available for God's use, but it's available any time that God wants to use it. It's not just available for use between 9:45 and noon on Sunday morning. It's not just available between 6 and 7 o'clock at night on Sunday night. It's not just available between 6:30 and 7:30 on Wednesday night when we have prayer meeting. It's a 24/7 kind of deal. This building makes itself available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be used to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Now, it may be a little cold if you don't let somebody know that you're coming, but you can come at midnight, you could come at 2 in the morning, you could come at 10 in the morning, you can come anytime throughout the day, and you can use this building in ways that will honor and bring glory to Jesus. Now, I suggest to you that we could offer ourselves as sacrifices to God in the same way. We can make ourselves available to God. And we should make ourselves available to God. That verse in Romans chapter 12 says it's only a reasonable service. After all that Jesus has done for us, after he went to Calvary and paid the price for our sins on the cross, it's only reasonable that we offer our bodies to him and say like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, when he heard the Lord say, who shall we send? He said, here I am, send me. And every part of our body ought to be offered as a living sacrifice to God. We ought to offer him our mind to praise and to thank him. We ought to offer him our hands and our feet to go and do what he needs to be done. We ought to offer him our tongue to sing his praises and to tell other people about Christ. We ought to offer him our hearts to love him and to love others about us. Every part of your life ought to be offered as a sacrifice to God. There ought to be no niche, no closet, no little piece of it held back. He deserves every single bit of it. He deserves every single part of your being. It ought to be offered as a sacrifice to God to be used of him. And by the way, it ought to be a 24/7 kind of thing. It ought not to be just on Sunday morning between 9:45 and 11 when we have Sunday school. It ought not to be just on Sunday morning between 11 and 12 when we have church. It ought not to be just on Sunday night between 6 and 7 when we have our evening worship service. Or just on Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30 when we have prayer meeting. But our bodies ought to be offered to God 24 hours a day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every day, he deserves that kind of sacrifice. All day, every day. And we ought to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to our God, to our Savior. So the building's available. I want you to notice, second of all, that the building is flexible. What I mean by that is we use this building for Sunday school. We use it for our worship services on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We use it for Bible study on Wednesday night. We use it to have birthday parties. We use it to have weddings and wedding anniversary celebrations. We use it for funerals. We use it for memorial services. We use it for dinners when we have funerals somewhere else. We use it for vacation Bible school. We use it for fellowships, for banquets, and for meetings of various sorts. And so this building makes itself available to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and says, you can use me however you see fit to use me. And I would submit to you that we ought to submit ourselves as a living sacrifice to God in that same way. We ought to say as men, here I am as a husband, as a dad, use me in my home, dear God, 24/7. We ought to say as wives and mothers, here I am, dear God, use me in my home as a wife, as a mother, 24/7. We ought to say as students, God, use me in the school that I attend. We ought to say as neighbors, use me in my neighborhood, dear God, to bring honor and glory to you. What I say as workers, use me in my office or on the line or wherever I work to bring honor and glory to you. We ought to say as customers, use me when I go to the grocery store, or use me when I go to the barber shop, or use me when I go to the beauty shop, to proclaim the name of Jesus, to bring honor and glory to him. We ought to say as we board airplanes and buses and trains, use me as a passenger to bring honor and glory to you. Use me as a friend in my circle of friends to proclaim the name of Christ. Use me as a relative in my family to bring honor and glory to you. In everything that we do, every place that we go, every role in life that we're called upon to play, we ought to say to God, here I am. I'm available. Every part of me. 24/7. Now use me. Use me. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, that I might gain them that are without law. That takes care of all your in-laws, all those outlaws. You know, you can get them. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Here's what he says. I am made all things to all men, that I might gain some. And that's what God's looking for in us. He's looking for us to offer himself, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to be used of him wherever we go, whatever we do. And then number three, I want you to notice that this building has no regard for size. No regard for size. We've had prayer meeting where there's just been three of us. Not often. But I remember one time there was just three of us. We've had morning worship services where we've had over 200. The building was there both times. Just as available both times. We've had weddings where there's been six people in the building. And we've had weddings where there's been over 200 people in the building. We've had vacation Bible schools when we first got started where we had 15, 20 kids. We've had vacation Bible schools where we've had over 200. We've had prayer meetings, I mean, where we actually came in and prayed. We didn't study the Bible, prayer meetings where we had 30 people come and pray at one time. We've had prayer meetings when there's only been one person here. Doesn't matter to the building how many people are here. Doesn't matter if there's a big crowd or a little crowd. Doesn't matter if there's hundreds or if there's just one. This building still makes itself available to be used to bring honor and glory to God. And I suggest to you we can offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God in the same way. Ought not to matter to us how big the job is that God asks us to do. Doesn't matter if it's a big task or a little task. Shouldn't matter if it's to teach Sunday school or to empty a garbage can. Shouldn't matter if it's to lead a Bible study or to wash the windows. Shouldn't make any difference. The Bible says, despise not little things. Despise not little things. And so we ought to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and say, I'm available. Every part of me, 24/7. I'm flexible. Dear God, you can use me however you want to use me, wherever you want to use me. And dear God, it doesn't make any difference to me whether that's for a big job or a little job. A job that's out in front of people or a job that I do that nobody, perhaps not even the pastor, knows that I'm going to do. You know, Jesus was the perfect example of this. He created the world. And yet you find him with a towel wrapped around him, washing the disciples' feet. He preached to thousands, and yet he sought out the individual. Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus. And so we'll go after the hundreds, even the thousands, but we'll also go after the one. Because you see, one adult, one young adult, one teenager, one little child, one little baby is important to God. And they ought to be important to us. Every one of them. Every one of them. Doesn't matter what kind of house they live in. Doesn't matter what kind of car they drive. Doesn't matter what their family situation is. Doesn't matter how much money they have. Every single person ought to be important to us. You see, the Bible says God so loved the world. But he also loved you. And he loved me. He loves you and he loves me as an individual. As a committee of one. As that one single solitary person. You've heard me say this and I believe it from the bottom of my heart. If I was the only sinner on the face of the whole earth, Jesus would have come to die for me. And if you were the only sinner on the face of the whole earth, he would have come and died for you. Because you see, God loves you. Brother Wendell mentioned a moment ago, and as he sung about, God loves you, and he loves me. In fact, he loves us so much that it's his desire that he wants every single one of us, every one of us as an individual, to live with him forever in that place that we sing about when we sing about heaven. That's his desire. Every single one of us, he wants to go to heaven and to live with him forever. But you see, you and I have a problem. We're sinners. We're not unique. It's a characteristic the whole world has. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one that's righteous. No, not one. When we compare ourselves to Jesus, You see where we all fall short. And some of you might be here this morning and say, well, preacher, you don't know me. I'm a pretty good person. I'm not a sinner. Well, let me ask you something, not to embarrass you, and you don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever lied? You ever had a bad attitude? Ever said something you wish you hadn't have said? That makes you a sinner. I got news for you. The book of James says, if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. That sin separates us from God. Keeps us from going to heaven. Nothing we can do to fix it. God said, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. I love you so much, I'll fix it. And what he did to fix it was he sent Jesus. Virgin born, sinless, only begotten Son of God. He lived 33 years on this earth to show us how to live. And then he let us take him and nail him to a cross. Plunge him, put nails through his hands and his feet, plunge a spear into his side, drain every bit of blood out of his body. And we laid him in a tomb, thinking he was dead. But 3 days later, the angel rolled that stone by, not so Jesus could get out, so that we could see he was already gone. And he rose from the dead. And we serve a risen Savior this morning, and that's what the gospel is. That's what God did to fix the fact that we were sinners. He took all of my sin and all of your sin, and he put him on his only begotten Son when he hung on the cross. And as Jesus died, he said, I'm dying for you. I'm paying for your sin. I'm fixing things up between you and God. And the Bible says that if we'll receive him, if we'll just take that gift that he purchased for us on Calvary, that we can become part of God's family. We can be one of his children. And we can go to heaven. And we can live with him forever and ever and ever. You may be here this morning. Maybe the first time you ever heard anybody tell you what God did to fix things up between you and him. Or you may have been here 100 times. And heard it 100 times. It's still for you today. And if you're here today and you've never received what Jesus did on Calvary for you, if you've never let him fix things up between you and God, I encourage you to do it this morning. Right now, in the next few minutes, I encourage you to do it. Say, how do I do it, Brother Darrell? Here's all you do. ABC. You admit that you're a sinner. Just tell God, yep, when he talked about us all being sinners, that's me. I've lied. I've had a bad attitude. I've done something that I would admit to God. I've done something that I would admit to God is a sin. Then you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God did send him. Believe that he did die for you and that his death was sufficient with God to pay for your sins. And then confess him. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just say, Jesus, I take you. I take it. I want it. I want that salvation that you offer freely to every man. And the Bible says if you do that, he'll make you a child of his. You know what the Bible, and by the way, I'll tell you what, we'll be happy this morning if you make that decision. But I want to tell you something else. The Bible says that the angels in heaven, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Just one. Just one. And so if you're here this morning and never received Christ, I would invite you, in just a second, we're going to bow our heads, we're going to stand, and we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, I would invite you to come. I invite you to pray that prayer. Just say it, and it doesn't have to be fancy. Jesus, I take it. I want it. I accept you as my Savior. And you'll be his. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple. Thank you for making it so that every little child, every young adult, every adult can understand what Jesus did for us when he went to Calvary and died in our place. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here, maybe a child, maybe a teenager, maybe a young adult, maybe a senior adult, Maybe for the first time in their life, they've realized that they are a sinner. Maybe for the first time in their life, they've realized that that sin separates them from God. And maybe for the first time, they've understood what Jesus' death on Calvary really means. I pray, Father, you'd help them to take the next step. Just help them to take that step that says, I received Christ today. I'm trusting Him today to make me right with God. I pray for that person that needs to do that. One, two, however many there are, Holy Spirit, you know how many there are, and I pray you'll speak to their hearts right now. And I pray that you'd speak to us as Christians as we've dedicated all the renovations that we've done in this place. I pray now that we go ahead and sacrifice ourselves to you, that we make ourselves available, that we'd be flexible, and regardless of the size of the task ask us to do, we'd be faithful in doing it. And so I pray for Christians that maybe just need to take a minute this morning, come to the altar and rededicate their life to you. And say like Isaiah, here I am, use me. Maybe there's others that need to come. Maybe you've laid it on your heart to join the church. Maybe for baptism, Holy Spirit, you speak to us. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. And I ask, dear Savior, that you bless the invitation. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.